The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you by the New York City Guitar School. Learning to play guitar doesn't have to be that difficult. Well, okay, yeah. It depends on your ability, sure. But it doesn't have to be a mental thing. That's the problem with picking up a new instrument. It's just like, I'm just feeling self-conscious. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of freaked out. Well, here's the thing. You want to learn online? Now we're talking. Now you can do it in the privacy of your own home and don't have to worry about anybody kind of, you know, looking at you funny and doing weird things when you're making new noises. That's how it works. Check out their banner at radio-memphis.com. It says guitar lessons here. Something to that effect. Click on that. It'll take you straight over to the site. Take a look at their videos. There's even a free video for you. Guitar tips and tricks. Take a look at it. It's free. See if this course is even right for you. If it is, great. Sign up. Get the deal. Learn to play the guitar now through the New York City Guitar School. And it's brought to you by Radio Memphis and our friends here at this podcast. What are we? From Radioland. My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. I would normally say hello to our friends over in YouTube land, but I'm not videotaping this anymore.
What? I couldn't.
Nothing came from it. It wasn't worth doing because, quite frankly, the music that we play in the show, we were not allowed to display it because and here's how it works. You know, if you're a musician, you give us your music, we play it, we get you out there. That's all wonderful. If you're signed on to any type of distribution or any type of label, they immediately just start getting grabby. They were taking advertisement revenue from this to line their own pockets and not give any of it to the musicians. And it was just sort of a pain. So we decided, no, we're not going to do it anymore. We'll just keep it into the audio thing of it. It's funny. YouTube is this free service that allows you to post whatever video you'd like, look at whatever videos you want, and it's nothing. For audio purposes, it's a whole different weird animal, and it's kind of sad. It's kind of effed up, but that's part of the thing with the internet, and that's just kind of how it goes. So, speaking of such, while we're talking music, coming up later in this show, we got Mark the Mule Man Massey. Oh my goodness, he's an Ice House Records cat. Recorded this record through Johnny Phillips over at Selecto Hits. Did a great job on the record. We're gonna play a cut from that here coming up in just a little bit. So we love Mark. He's a great guy, and he makes delicious moonshine. Not to out him. he lives out into the rural world. He does what he does. He's causing no trouble. He's a great guy. He's a great friend of the program. We love him to death, and we're gonna play some of his music a little bit later on. So such as it is. So dig this. A couple of weeks ago on Facebook, I posted a picture. Boy howdy, did I post a picture. It was a picture of me in front of a trailer. And this was done at a place called Tiger Lane here in Memphis. It's outside the Liberty Bowl where the University of Memphis Tigers play their football games. And there's all this property out there, and there's fields and there's tailgating stuff out there. And at any rate, during the off season, they rent this property out for various things. And one such was brother and sister David Turrell. Salvation Hailing Holy Ghost Revivals. Oh my damn. 10 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. daily. Everyone welcome. That's what is written on the side of the trailer. It's like an 18-wheeler trailer. It's a big deal. These guys have been around a long time, quite frankly. As a matter of fact, my friend Steve Butler had said that, you know, there was a time in 1967, 49 years ago, where Brother David T. Terrell was having his services broadcast on the radio. Now, that David and this David, I think they're related. They're not one and the same. But nevertheless, they had this thing. So anyway, back to the picture. The picture it picked up quite a bit. A lot of shares, a lot of comments, a lot of likes and reactions. It was actually quite amusing. And the tag that I wrote was getting thrown out of a tent revival. I guess I haven't lost a touch. Hashtag Jesus wants your money, not your mouth, or so I'm told. And this is kind of what I wanted to get into, because let's not forget something here. Televangelism got its roots from guys like Brother David Terrell. Brother David Terrell travels the south of this country with his tent revival, old school tent revival. Sets up like a three-post tent. You could have a circus in this damn thing. And they bring in people from all over the area. And there is, as it says, there's salvation, there's healing, there's the Holy Ghost revival. Oh, my damn, oh, we're going to have us a time. And it's a thing. It's been a long time, this whole thing. It's been around a long time, I should say. Well, here's the thing. Tiger Lane is not far from where I live in the Cooper Young area here in Memphis. And I had been riding my bicycle here of late, long story, and it gets me out. And I was riding around Tiger Lane because it's open and there's not anybody around there. There's a really reduced chance I'm going to, you know, get hit by a car or anything like that. So anyway, while I was riding around, they were setting up the tent. They were getting ready for their thing. And I saw the side of the trailer and I thought, well, this is interesting. And I made a note of it. And ultimately, when I got back to the house, I got onto the computer and I looked it up. And it it is the Book of Acts, Church and Healing and Salvation. And they're out of Texas. They're out of, I believe, Hancock, Texas. I don't have it in front of me here, but they're out of Texas. And they've been around a long time. And it is what it is. It's a show. By God, have mercy. It is a show. It's a music, gospel, throw down, thumping, dancing type of gospel show. And brother and sister, David Terrell, which I assume they are a married couple, they travel all over the place, and they're out there setting up these tent revivals type thing. And let's be honest, it's a moneymaker. It's bringing the word of the Lord to the people. Hey, look, whatever it takes, I get it. But Lord have mercy, is it a show? Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, you see it on late-night television. Those of you that still have a subscription to cable television might find it in very odd little places. And even in the free TV areas, you'll see these shows. Bob Tilton is one of them that comes to mind. Robert Hagee out of my hometown, out of San Antonio, unfortunately. That guy's they're all crooked. I mean, because it's show business. Let's not forget that. That's the bottom line. It is show business. And they come out there and it's the prosperity thing. They're going to lay it out there for you. Give me $1,000 and the good Lord will bless it 10 times forward. Oh, by God, by Easter, you will have $10,000 in your pocket. You know, it's funny. I do that as a very lame impersonation of this. But there was a time when I actually legitimately thought, you know, I could get into this business. I could do this. I could have some fun with this. And I could make some money. Well, thankfully, a clear head came to mind because I didn't do it. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this is. Because these guys, they've been called every name in the book. One of them is snake oil salesman. I call them the salesman of false hope. They are preying on those, and I P-R-E-Y, preying on those that are desperate and have nothing and or very little, and they take what they have left and give it to these people, and they go around and they travel, and it's a show, and it's, you know, here's some music and here's all this other stuff. And there's so much hucksterism that goes with this that I guess because I have a clear conscience, and I choose to maintain a clear conscience, I chose not to get into that line of work. I don't know if I'd have done that well with it. I may have had some fun, but I think there comes a point where it will gnaw on you. You have to be a cold-blooded, cold calculating individual to go out on that little stage every night that you do it. In this particular case, David Terrell does a 10 a.m. and a 7:30 p.m. show daily when they're set up in your town. Oh, you got to double it up. Pass the hat. Make it work. And it's a living. It's an income. That's fine. I understand that. But by virtue of being entertained, you're not buying a ticket. You're buying false hope. That's the problem that I have with this, is that there are people that are literally on their last legs, their last dime, their last hope, and they want somebody or something to give a shit for just a minute. And guys like this, they sell that. So anyway, back to the picture. I bugged my eyes out a little bit. I channeled this idea of there are some things that cannot be unseen, and I took the picture. And this is after I had been removed from the tent. Right. So show started at 7:30 p.m. The tag of it was 11 minutes later when I posted the picture, because I got there a little bit early, as does the band that starts to play. And they're good. They're good musicians, and they're the traveling act, and they're doing their thing. There's like, I don't know, four or five guys that were playing. And I'll try and paint the picture as best I can. It's a long tent. It's obviously a rectangle, but it's very long. I would say it's probably about, oh, maybe 30 feet wide by about 100 to 120 feet long. And the stage was set in the middle of the tent, but against one side. So you had this very long semicircle of old school folded chairs that were there. And when I went, there were about, I don't know, 25, 30 people there. And the band gets started. They come up out there on the stage, and they get to cranking. And they get started early. 7:30 is when Dude shows up. And I had gotten there and was checking it out. I've been out on the bike ride. Now, let me backtrack. I watched them set this thing up. There's a crew. There's a bunch of guys that are setting the tent up. And they're doing all this other stuff. So, anyway, they're getting going. And I'm seated in one of the chairs. Oh, probably about 25 feet, I guess 20 feet from the stage. If you're on the stage, it would have been toward the left. So I would have been stage right. And it was an easy in, easy out. The sides were up on the tent, so I could get in and out of there, because I figured, you know, I'm just going to go in and check this out. If I'm, you know, it's going to be fun, and I'm not going to obviously stay for the whole thing. So I could just slip out, hop back on my bicycle, and away I go. So after watching, having them set this thing up, I know that this is a show. And they're here for like 10, 15 days. And this is a big deal. They come here, I don't know, once a quarter, I guess, you know, four times a year. And they're obviously, they do fairly well here when they're in town, because they're making money. So I'm sitting there, and to my right, where the back wall of the tent is, if you will, that was open out where the trucks are and the RVs, where the family is staying, I recognized one of the guys on crutches. Now, the guy on the crutches was the same guy I'd seen a day or so ago that was setting up the tent. So he works for the good Reverend David Terrell. And I said to him, while the band was playing, I kind of stood up and I kind of sauntered over to him, and I said, did you get hurt setting up the tent? And he cut me this look like, I don't know who the hell you are. But he knew me. He saw me. He recognized. I don't match a lot of descriptions for people. I'm a pretty obvious guy. He had seen me the past day or so riding around in the neighborhood watching them set this up. I knew he saw me. And I, in essence, busted him out. And I said, you got hurt setting the thing up. I hope it goes out all right. Well, he never said anything. He just kind of looked away. And I went back over to where my seat was, and I went and sat down. And I wasn't there but about, I don't know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes. It was short. And this man comes up to me and he taps me on the shoulder and he says, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave." And I said, "Excuse me, what for?" And he said, "We just don't want you to cause any trouble. We would really appreciate it if you just went on about your way." So as I got up to leave, and I'm not going to raise a scene in there. These guys are doing their thing. I just made that comment to the one guy. As I'd walked by and I had to go out the back, there were four or five other people that I never really noticed before. They were all in this kind of a funny line. There were guys on crutches, as our tent guy was, and there was another guy that was he was there with a cane. There was another guy wearing sunglasses. I supposed he was blind. He wasn't blind the other day when I watched him set the tent up. So anyway, these guys were obvious plants for the healing part of the show. And I was politely escorted out, and away it went. And I left. I got to the bicycle, and I took the picture 11 minutes into the damn show. And the idea was that behind the picture was, there are things that cannot be unseen. I do recommend this for all of you that are tuned in. If you're even remotely fascinated by theology or comparative theology, go to one of these shows. They really are. They are a show. They're entertaining. You don't have to buy into what they're talking about. And it's, you know, just go in with an open mind and have some fun with it. And it is. It's a big time business. And so I got on the bike happily and rode on about my merry way. But this is just it. The healing part of it is what's amusing to me. And of course, I come home to the wife, and she's like, "Oh, there were healing people. Oh, well, that had to have been fascinating to watch these people that learned to walk again and learned to, or not just learn, but you know, God is bringing their vision back and bringing their hearing back." And I said, "Honey, well, hey, back up. Let's stop for just a second. This is the hold that faith healing has on people, because even my wife, who's a very smart lady, understands that." There are miracles that can happen, but they just don't happen on command in a place like a tent revival. Because as I pointed out to her, if faith healing was a reality, then the St. Jude Children's Hospital here in Memphis would not exist. Because people that would truly have that quote-unquote gift would just wander into a room with a bunch of sick children, place their hands on their foreheads, and cure them of every ill and disease that they possibly have. Now, some of you that are listening to this are probably going, "Oh, bro, oh, man, you're like, you know, you're being sacrilegious. You know, I believe in that sort." You can believe into what you want to believe. I'm not telling you not to. But let's look at this in a logical sense. If there are truly people who can heal based on faith, then there wouldn't be need for doctors. There wouldn't be need for hospitals. There wouldn't be need for hospice. There wouldn't be need for all of this other stuff. It's there to make money, and it's based on the sale of false hope. That's how that shit works. It happens all the time. And there are people that buy into it the same way. The televangelists have moved from television onto the internet. Bob Tilton, Success in Prayer. I think we talked about him before. Success, apostrophe, letter N, prayer. Success in prayer, or success in life. That's what it is. Success in life. And he promises flat out. He goes, "Give me $1,000 and I'll make sure that the good Lord pays it back 10 times over." My question has always been, what does God need with this money? I mean, he is the omnipotent individual who created all of creation, of course, and all of the universe, the solar system, all the planets, the tens of billions and trillions of planets that exist out there, the suns, the stars, the darkness of space, all of this that goes on for, well, you know, eternity. And what does he give a shit about how much money you give him? Or it, or whatever the case may be. To continue on with the good works the Lord has placed upon us. Look, several weeks ago, the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana was it was messed up by very heavy rains. They called it a 1 in 100 year storm. trillions of gallons of water have destroyed these people's lives. Was that God's doing? I don't know. Whatever the case may be, guys like Brother David Terrell over here and Brother Bob Tilton and the rest of these televangelists and a lot of faith-based religions, they don't go down there to help out because that's an outlay of cash. So what are they using this money for? It's to put gas in the RV so I can keep spreading the word and saving the souls. No, it's for you to sell these false hopes. So, anyway, I was asked to leave, and this has not been the first time that I've been asked to leave a place of worship. No shit, huh, bro? It's happened. Last count, I think it's about 7 times I have been asked to leave a church. And I did so by doing exactly what their main tenet of religion was, which was if you're, let's look at this. As a Christian, I've been thrown out of more Christian churches than anywhere else because Christian people tend not to be so. They refuse to do it unless it, you know, follows into their traditions, of course. Jesus, if you're a Christian, questioned everything and asked his followers to do the same thing, question everything that came around. So, of course, one particular incident in a church in Texas, I in the middle of a sermon, which is really the most opportune time to raise a question, I raised my hand. The sermon was on doing things that are godlike, act like the way Jesus is acting. And so my natural question was, what is it that this church is doing that is Christ-like? And that was met immediately by deacons of the church that came from behind me, from the back of the church, and grabbed me as though I were some sort of a thug. And they picked me up and they were politely going, we're going to have to ask you to leave. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. My question has not been answered. I have a question. My question is, what does this church do that is Christ-like? You are asking us as a congregation to be like Christ. What direction are we going in by virtue of what this church is doing? The existence of a church does not make it the pillar of a society. It's based in what is it that you do? Jesus said that by your actions. So I refused to leave at this particular church. I was like, no, this isn't going to happen. And so they literally dragged me out of there. And I was screaming and hollering all the way out. I ultimately had gotten a call and a letter. They'd figured out where I was and who I was. They had left this is back in the days before cell phones, so they left me a voicemail, if you will, on my answering machine. I had an answering machine at my apartment. And they had asked respectfully that I do not return. And a letter was actually sent to verify that this sort of thing was happening. And I actually went back to that particular church during an off time because I wasn't going to disrupt any service at this point. But I had a question. I had a yet another question to the guy running the thing. And I said, look, how is it that you call yourself Christian when you don't allow everyone, even with a question? Because Jesus even asked those questions. Well, I was asked to leave politely, and of course at this point I did. I'm like, look, you don't want to answer it, that's great. So, which goes back to the picture that I posted on Facebook a couple of weeks back. The bottom line that is printed on the side of that trailer where they carry their big tent around says, everyone welcome. What they don't tell you is it's everyone is welcome as long as you have no questions and as long as you don't question what it is that they're trying to accomplish. If you call them out on the sale of false hope, it becomes a problem. And it's not just in theology or in religion. There are people that sell false hope to everyone else all the time. No matter what it is that you go through in your life, there might be people that might go, hey, man, I can help you, you know, achieve your problems. I know you're having some trouble there, and I think I can help you out. And you trust this person, and all of a sudden you find out that you have wasted all your time on somebody who is just bullshitting their way through their entire life just to get your attention they're soul-sucking vampires of some sort, or they're trying to get some money out of you, or they're trying to do whatever it is that they feel that is going to make you pay them that attention. It's no different. Do I have a problem with theology or religion? My problem, to answer this question for you people, is that I have a problem with organized religion. Those of you who call yourselves Christians never pay attention to the idea, I believe it's in Mark 6, somewhere like 10, verse 10, verse 13, somewhere in there. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just trying to wing this. And forgive me, those of you that are like, oh, I'm just really offended by you quoting the Bible. No, Jesus actually states you should pray in private. It's never in public. It's never in a place where there's others. You pray in private in a closet. You close the door. You're done. You have a chat with your Almighty, and that's the way it goes. It's not about this. It's not about what this David Turrell cat is doing. It's not about what Joel Osteen, that son of a bitch. That is pure money. That is all that's about. It's the way it's always been with him. These are not people, these religious leaders, who give a flying fuck about you as a human being. Oh, they'll lay it out there and they'll say, oh, I care about you. No, you don't. You don't know how I live. You don't know how my relationships with the world is going. You don't know what pain that I feel internally. You don't know how to help that. But you're going to sit there and go, oh, it's all about prosperity, man. Give me the money that it takes to keep this church going, and I'll make sure that you get what you have coming to you, because Jesus wants you to be happy. Look, I'm not going to argue with that statement. Perhaps Jesus does want you to be happy. But he sure as shit don't want you giving up everything you have to give to somebody who doesn't give a flying fuck about your life. Live your life without the people that are selling these false dreams and these false hopes. And these guys like David Turrell, they do that. That's what they do. They suck on the people that are desperate and they're looking for some sort of way out. And it's not there. The only way out is through your own hands, through your own religion. And that's just it. Whatever it is, whether you believe or not, it shouldn't matter. And nobody should give a shit whether you believe or not. That's your private business. That's you and the universe. That is it. So really, quite frankly, all you have to do is close your eyes and listen to what the universe has to say. Follow that and do the best that you can. The only thing that I would ever ask of anybody, and I think this is never preached upon by any people, whether they're televangelists or tent preachers. Do no harm. None of them ever say this. Don't hurt anybody. Go out and do what you feel is right. But don't hurt anybody. And if that's the way you can go through life, if you can go through this entire life without hurting a single soul, you have achieved something that many people cannot. I've hurt people. You've hurt people. I have friends that have hurt people. That's just the way it goes. You cannot go through life without hurting someone. But if you can strive to not hurt anybody, that's a good thing. Boy, howdy, did I just start a church here? Oh, my Lord, give me $1,000 and I'll make sure you get nothing in return.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Well, yeah, I guess technically it is a chemical imbalance, because the chemicals were not imbalanced when he was taking those medicines. And I said, I questioned her on it. I said, what experience do you have in this? What knowledge, what education do you have in this sort of thing? And she got pissy with me. Lord, it was as if she was expecting it to happen. It happened so quickly. It escalated into this complete argument just right out of the chute so fast. And then she hung up on us. Well, this conversation is over. And my first thought was, what a bitch. What a complete asshole. And now every time I see her on television or I see her online, I that's the only thing I can think of is the fact that she was a complete bitch to me.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Our friends at Wizards have been in business for a long time. They're an alternative smoke shop here in Memphis. If you're in the Memphis and Mid-South area, you've got to be familiar with it. Hell, we've been talking about them for a long time. And it's a great spot. By God, 1999 Madison Avenue, open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Chances are they're open right now. But they've got some really cool stuff. You're looking for a unique gift. You're looking for something a little different. You're looking for some kind of fun. You're looking for a candle. Look, dude. Oh, candles I can get it anywhere, bro. Not these. These are Woodwick candles. They're very special candles. My wife has one here. I got her the kids at Wizards gave me, and I gave it to my wife because I wanted her to enjoy this. It's floral. It smells delightful. It's wonderful. It's really cool. You can find something like that. They've got t-shirts, hats, all sorts of groovy stuff. They got lava lamps, by God. And those of you living outside of the Memphis and Mid-South area, look for their banner at radio-memphis.com. It says WizX on it. Click on it. You can order from the safety of your own home. They'll ship it right to you. And you can get some really cool stuff from Wizards because it's still smoking. All right, guys. You've heard what's coming up next week. It's time to get into some music. My good friend, Mr. Mark Massey. Mark the Mule Man Massey. He's a great cat, great guitar player, great bluesman. We're going to play a little bit of blues. But this is kind of rocky blues. This is good stuff. He's signed on with the Ice House record label here in Memphis through Selecta Hits. Great record. A lot of fun this guy is. He lives down in Mississippi. He's got him a little plot of land down there. You know, he's fortunate that he can kind of hide from society and play the blues and have a large time. It's a great song. Oh, my God. Listen to what he talks about. I guess it kind of got related to what we're talking about today. Plastic Flowers. Here it is. Mark, the Mule Man Massey from Radioland.
I've been working all my life trying to get it right. And now they're telling me it's time to go. But before y'all lay me down in that cold, cold ground, there's something I want everyone to know. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. I don't care how much money you can save. Make sure my tombstone ain't made of styrofoam. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. Except no substitute like phony mohair suits, Rolex watches made in Tokyo, imitation diamond rings, and instant everything. Remember, all that glitters is not gold. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. I don't care how much money you can save. Make sure my tombstone ain't made of styrofoam. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. Just load me in the back of a long black Cadillac. Make sure that everybody understands. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. I don't care how much money you can save. Make sure my tombstone ain't made of styrofoam. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. I don't care how much money you can save. Make sure my tombstone ain't made of styrofoam. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave. And I don't care how much money you can save. Make sure my tombstone ain't made of styrofoam. Don't put no plastic flowers on my grave.
Isn't that great? Mark Muleman Massey. Look him up. M-A-S-S-E-Y. Mark the Muleman Massey. He's going to be playing the Bonafide Blues Festival in Memphis September 30th, October 1st. It's a two-day event down here in Memphis. If you want to learn more about that, go to the MemphisBluesSociety.com. MemphisBluesSociety.com. You'll find the links for the Bonafide Blues Festival happening here in Memphis September 30th and October 1st. He'll be playing. He's one of the acts that's playing down here. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're going to be in the area for it, you know, I highly recommend you come check it out. And he does. He does put on a hell of a show. So my thanks to Mark for letting us play this tune here on this program here this time out. So there you go. You've heard what's coming up next time. We've had a little music. We talked a little. We talked a little Jesus. We talked a little. Be careful. Be careful what people try to sell you on. They're not trying to sell anything. They're trying to get your money. Mind yourselves. Look out for one another. Look out for each other. Look out for yourselves. See what I'm saying? See how this all ties together? It's the same thing every time. And for God's sake, quit shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.